Ryan Covey running the show today. And when I grew up, I used to read the comics, and Andy Baggerly would be with us in just a second. Dick Tracy, that was the comic strip I used to read. And whenever Dick Tracy would look into his two-way wrist radio, how about that? Probably about 50 or 60 years ago, they were thinking about a two-way wrist radio just like we have with our iPhones and FaceTime. So when he ended the conversation, he'd always say 10-4. And that's what Ryan Covey, I appreciate it, says to me 10-4 whenever we talk down the line. And brings me back to the old comic strip days. Andy Baggerly, how are you this morning at CSN Bags with two G's? Good morning.
I thought that when you started talking about comics, you were going to introduce me as Jughead.
I read that one, too, you know?
Hey, you know what's funny? I always, you know, you communicate with your desk and your editors a lot when you're a reporter out in the field or covering a beat. And when I was at the Mercury, I would always get back to executive editor Bud Geraci with a Roger Wilco. And that became shortened to RW. So he'll finally send me an RW every now and again.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, 10-4 for me was, you know, every time Dick Tracy looked into that two-way wrist radio, he said 10-4. And Ryan does that for me. In fact, I'm going to do this. We have a trivia question today. And this is to get in the pool to have dinner with us at and I'll have to tell Raph the answer to this. We'll throw the question out after the break. But I'm going to ask for Jughead his last name. How about that?
Oh, my good. Well, you stumped me. I don't know.
All right. And you're a Jeopardy champion, so that's pretty good. But we'll do it after the next break. We'll get Jughead's last name, and we'll take it back. I got to tell Raph the answer, else I do it now. Hey, Andy, the reviews on Vogelsong last night, how were they?
Well, you know, he's definitely had better stuff. He, by the third inning, his fastball and his slider were pretty much coming in around the same speed, and that, you know, it's hard to pitch that way. But you know what? I really like the way he competed out there. The fact he had a couple of 20-pitch innings and was able to kind of reduce the damage. I think he stranded five in the first three innings. That's really what the Giants wanted to see, just see him get tested a little bit and see how he responded. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he does with a full off season of rest. He can put the World Baseball Classic behind him, put, you know, pitching all the way up to the World Series last year behind him. He is 36, and so you begin to wonder. But he just knows how to pitch so well. He knows how to compete so well. And that's to me what was so surprising about his first nine starts before he got hurt. One quality start out of the bunch, and opponents were batting over 400 against him with runners in scoring position, where in 2011 they were batting about .150. And that's what really surprised me, that he wasn't working out of those jams, wasn't making pitches, because he's a guy who just doesn't give in, as we all know. And, you know, I think that had to be the fatigue factor at play. And so, you know, he's probably going to be back next year unless something goes horribly awry over the next 6 weeks. They'll pick up his $6.5 million option, and he'll be a part of things going forward. So, you know, he didn't blow people away. He didn't break bats. It wasn't like, you know, you stood up and took notice like when he arrived in spring training in 2011. But he got out there and he did what he does. He sort of flared his nostrils and said, I'm not going to give anything up today. And he gave him a chance to win. And that's about all you could ask for. And the guy's first start back in about 3 months.
Yeah, I thought it was terrific. And I set the over-under at 2 home runs last night. And when he gave up the first one, I said, that's one. And that was it. He didn't give up another one. I was impressed.
Yes, you did. You walked the length of the press box to let me know that J.J. Hardy's home run counted as a one home run. Thank you for that, by the way.
That was
a little foggy on the rules there.
All right. Well, you know, but he did great. I thought he did great, and I think it's absolutely a no-brainer to bring him back next year. You have to bring him back at the prices that these pitchers are going to get on the market. Why not? So I was glad to see it. I agree with you early. It's like spring training for him again, and the arm speed will be there. But competing at the major league level, I was very impressed with him last night. And going back to his last start of almost five innings, not giving up a run, and then this one, he's got a couple to build on, so that was good. All right, Brandon Belt, I had Bam Bam Mullins on earlier today, and, of course, you talked with him yesterday as well. Nice home run for him last night. Then he got a big hit against a very tough closer last night. Belt coming around, because Chris Davis, interesting, we're looking in the paper today that Henry had the story. Chris Davis says, don't change anything. Do what you feel good about. I'm sure the coaches like seeing that.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a back and forth, right? You got Bam Bam saying, well, it's taken him 3 years to adopt some of this stuff. And you got Chris Davis saying, don't let anybody change who you are. So,
right. If you have to hit standing on your head, do it.
you know, it just underscores that everybody's different. Everybody takes different paths. And for some people, maybe they get off the path by, you know, trying to tinker too much or trying to listen to other people too much instead of trusting themselves. And for other people, they're keep banging their head against a wall and, you know, and they won't change. And sometimes people figure it out, like Brandon Belt has shown signs of doing here these last couple weeks, and sometimes they never do. And Aaron Rowan never got out of his sort of toilet dump stance that the Giants wanted him to get rid of for, you know, the better part of 3 or 4 years and obviously didn't make it to the end of his contract. So, you know, it's hard. When you're out there and you're in front of, you know, 40,000 people, you don't want to fail. You don't want to strike out. You don't want to look stupid.
Right.
So you got to go with what you've had some modicum of success with, what the results tell you works. And, you know, these guys get to the big leagues. That's no small feat. That's a pretty big accomplishment, getting to the big leagues, hitting one way or pitching one way. And it's awfully hard to turn your back on that and embrace something different. But, you know, it is a game of adjustments, and I think the really good players figure out that their skill level changes as they get older or as they battle through injuries or whatever, and they're able to make adjustments so that they can be effective with whatever skills they have. And we all know the sky's the limit for Brandon Belt. He really could be a middle of the order. You know, he could be putting up the numbers that Freddie Freeman's putting up in Atlanta this year, definitely. That's pretty much within him. And it's being consistent from game to game and making those adjustments and competing with what you have, and he's got a lot of talent to draw from.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think the organization believes it, and they have a lot of faith in him. And you talk to people around the organization, they say, you know who we get the most calls about? Brandon Belt. And that's what people in baseball think about him.
Yeah, yeah. He's certainly a guy who invites a lot of discussion, and maybe not as much as like a Brian Wilson, but... you know,
hey, this is Ron Wotus, and you're listening to Giants Warm Up.
Yes, you are. 10-4. 10-4, Ryan Covey. 10-4. All right, go ahead.
I completely lost my train of thought. Ron Wotus knocking me right off of my train of thought.
All right, we'll move on. We'll move on. I don't know if I talked to you about this last night at dinner or not, but, you know, we look at all the injuries this year on this ball club, and, you know, you can analyze Cassian, Vogelsong, Pagan. But there are two players who made an impact by not being in the big leagues for this club this year, and one is Gary Brown. The other one is Heath Hembree. If they were on the proper path, which they should be at this age, and had made their impact in the big leagues like other teams' young players have, this may have been a little bit of a different season. So I think both of them are a disappointment to me.
Oh, you're right. You hit the nail on the head. That's what I've been saying for weeks is in 2011, they lost Buster Posey, and that he's irreplaceable. You cannot replace Buster Posey. But Angel Pagan is a really good ball player, a vital role on this team. He's a guy you should be able to replace for a couple months. You know, Santiago Casilla, again, vital part of the bullpen, important guy. He's a guy you should be able to replace from within if you've got a minor league system that's productive. And right-handed power reliever, well, gosh, that's exactly what Heath Hembree is. Leadoff type center fielder, that's exactly what Gary Brown is. But neither of those guys were ready, to contribute at the big league level. I don't know if you want to play the blame game or talk about if they weren't developed properly or whatever, but those are guys who needed to step up into situations where the organization needed them and they weren't ready to do it, and that definitely has been a factor in the two-plus month period in which this season got away from these guys.
Yeah, how do you like the Orioles? Now, we've seen the Orioles many years, and I said this also to you last night. Buck Showalter does not get the credit he deserves for what he's accomplished in baseball. He may be like a Billy Martin guy. You know, after a couple of years, you get sick of him and he's got to move on. But he's got this ball club, 34 errors this year, and leading the league in home runs. And this is a formidable ball club.
Yeah, and Buck always does some things that nobody else quite does. You saw that exaggerated shift for Brandon Belt, and
he hit
it.
How about
it
that?
Once.
Yeah.
Took a hit away from him, and then Belt, I think, took a page out of Barry Bonds' book and said, "Oh, fine, you want to shift on me? Here's 430 feet. You know, see if you enjoy that." So that was kind of fun to watch. It reminded me of Bonds a little bit. But the guy I'm most impressed with is Manny Machado. I mean, he came real close to hitting a right-handed homer into the arcade, which we don't see very often. I can think of Alfonso Soriano, maybe Ryan Zimmerman, a couple other guys. But he had two doubles last night. He's got 42 doubles this year, and we still got, you know, 7 weeks of the season left. That's pretty remarkable. So, you know, it's fun, these interleague games. I'm not a huge fan of a lot of interleague play. I certainly don't like the DH, but it does give you the opportunity to see a Manny Machado up close and realize, hey, you know, we don't get to see this guy in the other league, and he's pretty darn impressive.
And I'll tell you, Chris Davis just crushed that ball last night off of Lopez. And I know the pitchers should have been low and away. The defense was set low and away. But, boy, I'll tell you something. And the ball was up there a while, but that swing and that power, that was something last night.
Yeah, and you know, it's what makes that an interesting play is that Bruce Bochy intentionally walked a really good hitter, Adam Jones, to face the guy who's leading the major leagues in home runs, which you don't see very often, but that's how much he trusts Javier Lopez, any left-handed matchup. And, you know, with good reason. We've seen Lopez neutralize Prince Fielders and Ryan Howards and Joey Votto's, and, you know, they always show that gif of Joey Votto taking that little half-hack swing, looking terrible, a guy who, you know, is up for a batting crown every year. And that's what Lopez does to left-handed hitters. And yeah, he made a mistake and almost got away with it. Like you said, that ball was in the air a long time, but the outfielders happened to be shifted the wrong way, and Greger couldn't quite catch up with it. And that's just sort of been the story of the season. Bruce Bochy makes kind of a gutsy move, you know, to face the guys leading the majors in home runs, and usually those moves work out for him because, hey, he's Bruce Bochy. But this not being the Giants' year, it didn't work out. And you know, I thought they really lost the game in the bottom of the ninth, mm-hmm, when Roger Kieschnick couldn't make contact with the runner at third, and you know, I looked it up, and I thought, gosh, it's been a while since we've seen a walk-off win. And then I realized they had 7 of them in April and May combined. Mm. And since then, they've had one walk-off win at home, obviously, and that was June 22nd. So pretty big story of almost two different seasons for this team.
Wow. Hey, you said GIF instead of GIF. I want to tell you, Carmen Q is going to be all over you.
Hey, the guy who invented the file format, I forget his name, said he pronounces it like the peanut butter. Like,
all right.
So I'm,
all right,
I'm going with that. I'm
all
going
right
with that.
The LOL KMBR people are all over me for that, so I got to stay with GIF.
So just go with, what does it stand for? Graphics interface, something or just
who
call
knows
it by its long form name. There you go.
It's a lot of fun, I'll tell you that. It's a lot
it
of
is
fun. It's a lot of fun to see it. Hey, I'll see you out at the park shortly.
Yep, I'm on my way there now.
All right, thanks, Andy. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Marty.
All right, that is Andy Baggerly.